CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, there it is. The beginning of your Tuesday morning, just after 6 o'clock. Today's the big Constitutional Court day, right, for the president. I think it's today. The whole pay back the money thing goes to court. It's a big deal. A lot of people worried that it might end up being a violent confrontation between the EFF and the ANC. And if you listen to the guy they're starting to call Oros, Colin Maine from the ANC Youth League, there's definitely an intimation that the ANC Youth League are feeling very, very threatened by the EFF. All of a sudden, he said in some interview yesterday that the EFF are monkeys. And you'd think that someone somewhere along the way had learned that saying that about anybody in this country is not a good idea. But what can we do? You know? And stupid comes in various forms and shapes and sizes. And in this case, it arrived in the shape of the Oros man. which is more insulting, what they said or what I said. You figure it out. It's it's a pretty damn interesting time to be alive, right? We'll talk to Justice Malala on Thursday, and hopefully he can help us figure out all this stuff. So, how's everybody? What's everybody up to? Mabane and Ben, we've got new microphone situations here in terms of where everybody sits. So
yeah, these are really exciting times, Gareth.
Trying to figure all that out. Good morning, Sia.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I cannot complain, which is a great upside.
Very happy to hear that.
How many phone numbers so far?
Excuse me?
Well, you said you can't complain, so I just, you know.
And let me explain what that's all about in case you missed yesterday's show. Sia was hitting on some guest on Friday, and Kat threw him under the bus. And basically now we all know that Sia is using his position here to try and line up dates.
Using it so badly.
Yeah.
Sorry, how abusing, is this becoming his, a abusing thing? His position here.
No, it's not. It's been a thing for a long time. We've just uncovered it now. And apparently you even have other people doing your dirty work, doing the gathering of information for you. I have a lot of info here.
Because where do your loyalties lie? Do you want me to be shriveled up and old and alone?
No, I think it's great. I don't have a problem with it. I just find it very funny that this is how you've been operating quietly under the radar. Very good. No, it's definitely
not like a dark, deep operation.
Well, it seems like you have a modus operandi.
If I have a glass of water and someone is thirsty,
yeah, you give it to them.
Exactly.
Are you calling yourself a glass of water, Sia?
Just like...
Yeah.
Is that what you tell people? I'm a glass of water on a hot day.
Mabali, Mabs, you're being pulled into conversations very early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Somebody here says Mabali is responsible for unwanted boners. It's so erotic when she reveals her sex life on the show. Oh. Okay. I assume that has something to do with yesterday. You know, a lot of people listen to the podcast; they don't get to listen live, so they might hear the stuff in the afternoon.
Fair play on getting the words unwanted boners out so early as well.
I know. So let's go to, since Sia's the topic of discussion already. Flax did some research around the office just to see what people thought. And let's take a listen to it. First of all, here's Sia singing in the car. This is on the way into work in the morning when he's preparing himself to snare some of our male guests.
It was just like a movie.
Yeah.
It was just like a song. The big news is coming.
Yeah.
My God, this reminds me.
Yeah.
Of when we were young.
Wow, you really have a good time in the car. Do you sing every morning on the way in?
Well, I think it's only necessary.
Yeah, I think
and
it's good.
My car, my rules.
Sure.
Michael always complains. I say, well, if you have a problem, then don't be in a car with me.
But I like it, Sia. It means you're happy.
Yeah.
I see people.
It's a good thing.
I see people singing in the car on the way into work. I'm happy for them.
I never, like, even at the robots, that awkward moment when people turn around, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, it's your business, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, on to more important things.
Oh, really?
So, there's been allegations of Sia and conduct with other guests. Have you seen anything?
I haven't seen anything, and I actually refuse to comment, Mark. I'm not sure what is exactly going on, and I actually need a bit more information before I can make a statement.
Now, that's our sales manager. That's our sales manager, Neil, who refuses to sell you down the river, Sia.
Oh, that sounded like a cross-examination.
Well, it's a bro code right there.
This is where you get to see who you can really trust, Sia. He would never sell you down the river. That's Neil.
At the moment, we're just compiling a report. Have you not seen anything suspicious? Any fondling or maybe use of inappropriate words?
You mean anything out of the ordinary?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen anything out of the ordinary.
Let's cross to Producer Cat. Producer Cat, have you seen anything out of the ordinary with regard to Sia Sangweni Finn?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you seen any behavior?
Suddenly she shuts up. Your question, though, your question could be better, Flex. You should be more specific about what information you require here. You know.
You know what? When you're on the streets and you see the thing with Producer Katz was I needed to wait outside and catch her before she came in the building because once Sia instilled fear in some people, they weren't going to go.
He really does.
Yeah, because you sort of you're a very dominant personality.
How do I instill fear?
Well, in the hub, you are a very influential person.
Kat also comes in singing in the morning, Sia, and then has 2 minutes with you, and suddenly it's, okay, Sia, yes, yeah.
That's out of the norm.
No, not really, no.
Have you seen him touching people or speaking to people inappropriately?
The only person he touches is me.
Ah. That's enough for a report right now. Thank you very much.
You'd make a terrible investigative journalist.
Yeah, when did he turn very CNN?
Yeah. Deborah Patter's protege.
So, Duncan, I've been asked to build a report about Sia. Apparently, misconduct in the office with guests, flirtation going on. Have you seen anything like this?
You know what, Mike? I thought I was the guilty one. Not until last week. See, what Sia does, as soon as the guests leave the studio, he peeps through the window and he says, oh my God, he's a DILF. Which is a dad I'd love to fuck. See, I'm into MILFs.
Yeah.
Moms I'd love to fuck. But Sia, he's like, oh my gosh, he's a DILF, he's a DILF. Uh-huh. I'm like, dude, I thought I was the perverted one. But you take the cake. Well. Sia is inappropriate sometimes.
I've never even used that term in my life.
No, I don't know, Sia. I'm willing to, if anybody knows inappropriate behavior, it's Duncan. And if he says you're inappropriate, maybe you are.
And now we're really siding with Duncan on this one.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Here's Jane. Oh, hang on. Let me just see if I can play this off of here because it's not playing properly. This is Jane. Jane, it's not playing for some reason, Flex. I don't know. It's stuck. I don't know if you copied it right.
It's a sign.
Yeah, just see if you can have that one sorted out. And then here's one last one. We've been gathering evidence. Turns out Sia is really hitting on a lot of our guests.
All right, John, allegations this morning were brought forth about Sia and guests. Have you noticed anything out of the ordinary? Maybe a hug that lasts too long or anything like that? No comment.
No touching.
Have you noticed any exchange of numbers that you haven't...
Jono doesn't even want to be near the microphone. He's so on Sia's side on this one.
No, it's the fear that Sia throws out there.
I think maybe these are the people that Sia should be able to trust.
Thought were for booking reasons. All right, that's no comment from Jono once again.
Wow. Jono was very evasive, huh? Flax, you struggled to get anything out of him.
He had been in the office for quite some time, and he has heard via the grapevines what was happening. Sia passed a few comments, a few looks.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Can you lay this to rest now?
No, we're not finished.
I got one more here. The killer.
All right. Well, let's see. There's one last piece of evidence before we put together our final thoughts on this matter, Sia, and then you can rest assured that we will leave you alone. Of course we want you to be happy, but we just don't know whether it's a good idea that you're so responsible for so many things here in the office. And you could just be here to try and...
It hasn't taken away from my work, though.
You could... No, I'm not saying that at all. Your work is not affected, but you could be here. The real reason you're here could be just to get booty.
Yeah, I was about to say, so define your work.
No. Let's see, here's Jane. Let's see if we can get this working. Because Jane is the final piece of information, right?
Uh-oh.
She concludes my report.
Okay. Let's see if we can get this. This is very, very hardcore information that we're processing this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah? Oh, yes. Totally. I don't know why this thing works.
Jen, I'm wrapping up my initial findings with the hashtag SIA report. And before we build a hypothesis, I need you to tell me everything you know.
Everything I know about Sia Sangweni is like he's been flirting with our guest every day. Last time we find the man from DA, this time it was the fashion designer or I don't know, I don't understand. Is it a fashion designer or what? But he was so nice. The guy was like, Sia was so crazy the whole day. It's like he's finding a man every Friday in this house. Like this thing's going to end today, Sia Sangweni. You understand what I'm saying? I spoke to Gareth this morning that he must end this thing. Of flirting with our guest.
See, Jane is very concerned for the well-being of our guests.
She thinks big picture.
Yeah. She's not going to let you keep on hitting on these people mercilessly.
Every Friday, huh?
And any recommendations?
About Sia Sangweni?
Of how to stop this so-called issue.
To stop this, we have to find him a date.
Any ideas how?
How? I think we have to go out with him. And see if he can find his own date. Not here at Leaf Central. As a belief, I'm begging you, Sia Sangweni.
I have a lot to go home and write up. Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you, Michael.
Wow, some damning evidence there from Duncan and Jane. Certainly the people that it turned out you can trust are Jono and Neil. And we figured out that Kat changed her tune very quickly once she was in your presence.
The people he can intimidate are Jono, Neil, and Kat.
Okay, there we go. Well, that shows you the extent of your power then, Sia. It's also something to look at. Very exciting.
Okay, now this is officially done.
Well, for now. That's until someone else walks in here who's really good looking and gets you distracted.
I don't mean to have the final say because I don't think I'm an authority on all this philandering. But Sia just can't help himself. He's just so... He believes he has so much to give. So whether you're bringing a sandwich here from...
Oh, I knew you were coming
from. Whether you're delivering food here or whether you're here for a guest, Sia just wants to...
What, someone delivered a sandwich and he hit on them?
And it wasn't even for Sia. He was just waiting for Kat. And this poor guy was standing there. And then Sia was saying, you know, it's my birthday. He was bringing me a free sandwich. And then there was, like, eye contact.
Well, he's a very flirtatious guy.
Because that's just it. That's what I said.
Or it's just being a friendly person.
Exactly, Sia. That's what you say. But deep down...
All right. Okay, everybody calm down. Thank you, Sia. We'll leave you alone for the moment, but at least we know now how you operate. And you know what? Good for you. Some people are very nervous to say what they think when they're around beautiful people. You are not. You make a move, which I respect. I think it's great.
Okay.
A man a day, Sia, keeps the doctor away.
That's my buddy, Martin. Look at her. She still looks 12. She's young and completely devoid of any of the nonsense that most people go through when it comes to relationships and so on. This morning, our guest is going to be Reason, the rapper. He's going to pop in. We'll talk to Reason. He's been in at Cliff Central a number of times before, so he's kind of a member of the family, and he'll be stopping by to catch us up on what he's up to. At the moment, the rest of the day today is looking very busy, very full. Timothy Maurice is in with Unbranded, that's at 9 o'clock, and he'll be talking about the 4 G-spots of transforming your life.
Oh.
Not sex, don't panic, everybody calm down, it's about shifting your environment, why it changes your life. He's going to be talking to author Kate Emerson about that. There'll also be Rayonette Leibowitz on the Cyber Health Bite. And then they go to the good stuff with Brent Lindekew and Kerry Stein. That's going to be fun. Brent was actually in here yesterday, and he said he's got this great interview with Goodbye Malaria. You know, they're doing wonderful work, and they've got a special Valentine's Day campaign that he wants to tell us about. Mabale Moloi and Tumi Morake are in at 11 with Sipping Tea. What's happening there, Mabs?
Well, Tumi is back from Bali, so we're going to catch up on her escapades.
Right.
And then we're also going to talk about Bitches Be Back, which is the show that she's... a part of comedy show that's taking place at the end of the month at that's Carnival right. City.
We spoke to Nina about that yesterday.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Gary Hertzberg, Kate Pater with The Laws of Life in studio today. A Pretoria woman who was severely injured after being savaged by a diplomat's dog.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. How the diplomat dealt with her claim is disgraceful. Today's show is about... diplomatic immunity and how far this law extends in protecting foreign diplomats. Gary will also tell you how and when and why and all the other stuff you need when you are stopped in a roadblock, Ben. And who hasn't had that happen to them? I mean, you've got all those drugs and guns in your boot. What do you do? you know, you need to know these things. The Daily Maverick show is on at 1 with Kingsley Kipuri and the team. With South Sudan still divided, the team will speak to rebel leader and former vice president Riek Machar about his hopes for the young nation. And then the journalist who uncovered a network of secret U.S. bases in Africa will tell us all about those. Now, that's interesting. Then it's Futurology with Brett Levy. Cybercrime in South Africa and the dark web are real. Brett will speak to Candace Sutherland about all you need to know. In conference with Michael Jackson is the 15 minutes between then and 3 o'clock. Who gets the kidney? Is 2016 going to be one of your worst years? A call to action, employee engagement. What it is and how do we understand it? Once we understand it, what are we going to do about it? Motivational and business speaker Steph Duplessis will join Michael and get to the bottom of these questions. And finally, just in case you don't know the rest of the lineup, it's 360 Biz with Teboho Mafodi and Bulelani Balabala. They're going to be talking about all things business as they do every week, looking at some of the most interesting business stories from around Africa. Then it's Kelman and Cliff Central with Aria Kelman, the Ladies Round Table. They're going to be talking about overstepping boundaries, parenting, all that stuff. Dave Greenway will give you his latest tech update before Deshni Subramani gives us the latest news. Pretty impressive day. There's always so much to do on a Tuesday. So, you tell us what you're up to this morning and tell us what you think of what might be going on in the Constitutional Court this morning. You can call us on 0861-555-189. If you've got something else in your mind that doesn't have anything to do with politics, we could talk about that too. I spoke to a couple of interesting people yesterday. Some of the interviews that I got to do in the afternoon yesterday, we will be playing out for you in, you know, days to come. There's some very, very interesting people hopping around South Africa at the moment, and I caught up with a few of them yesterday. We're going to speak to Simon Allison later today, who will who'll give us the lowdown on Africa at the moment, what's happening on the continent, where we need to be aware of things that could be dangerous, where we could be aware of things that are really worth celebrating, because there are things like that in places like Rwanda. And I think Simon was the last guy to give us a comprehensive view on what's going on in Africa, so I thought it would be nice to have him back. Pretty interesting. Let's go to some messages for this morning. Robert says, meet me behind the banner on Thursday night, Sia. Or is it the pillar?
Then.
Yes, of course, we've got Deadpool, right? Isn't that what... there's Deadpool, the movie that we're hosting.
Yes.
All right, now, while we're talking about Deadpool, let me quickly play you this trailer, because it gives you an idea what Deadpool is. He's kind of the anti-hero. It's not a normal... This is not a Marvel Comics superhero story in the traditional sense. This is very, very different.
I didn't ask to be super, and I'm no hero. But when your worst enemy is after your best girl, it's time to be a superhero.
Let's get out there and make a difference.
Wham! Wait, did I leave the stove on? Deadpool.
You look like an avocado had sex with an older avocado.
Thank you.
So that is Deadpool, the movie that we're hosting on Thursday night, and Sia will not be behind any pillar. And Flax said he won't be either. He's going to be out there wearing a sign and everything.
I'm going to be working that room.
Yeah. Frightening people. Mabale should come too, says Robert.
Oh, behind the pillar.
Yeah,
Robert, this Robert's really adventurous.
Robert wants a threesome.
Three is a party, not a crowd.
Apparently, if you want Sia to leave you alone, you just need to smoke an e-cigarette, because Sia believes they will explode. It's his kryptonite. Is that true? You don't trust these e-cigarettes?
Well, how many cases do we need to read about to know that they're bad and they're about to, like, melt your face off?
Well, I haven't heard of any of these things exploding in people's faces. Is that true?
There's at least one story.
Yeah, there's been two cases worldwide.
Well, two. Two cases, Sia.
Two cases too many.
Come on.
Do you want to be the third one?
Sia. Please.
I was throwing it out there.
I'm sure that everything in the world has a small chance of malfunctioning. And if it's two cases in the world, there must be millions of these e-cigarettes all over the place. I don't think it's worth getting nervous about. There are things worth getting nervous about and things
not.
Katleho Motlabeng says, why is John T. Searle such a pervert? I'm surprised women let him come close to them. This man must calm down. I don't know. I don't know if it's fair to call him a pervert. Jonty is one of those people who is immersed in sex. He talks about it very matter-of-factly. It's a very important part of his life. It's become part of his career. I don't think it's fair to call him a pervert, although he certainly has a very open mind to some sexual shenanigans and goings-on that the rest of us would be nervous to try and nervous to get involved in. It's fair to say that, right?
Yeah, pervert's such a dirty word because it suggests that people are just doing things for the wrong reasons. Like, if you're pervy, you're like, you know, like creepy uncle kind of guy.
Right.
John T is a professional.
Well, he's a sensualist.
Exactly. That's what he's a professional, Gareth. That's the word we misuse with John T.
Definitely.
Much better P word.
All right, we're pretty much out of time for the first little bit of this morning, but we've got to get to sport. We've got to get to Anthea. There's plenty to talk about today. We've got some news, and as I said, Reason will pop by a little bit later on. We've also got Carolyn Stain with her 67 Blankets campaign. She'll be popping by to tell us how that's going. She needs to break some records. We're going to help her get the message out there.
I was about to say, she's been knitting this whole time. She only got 67 blankets.
No, they've got lots. Are you kidding? She showed me how many blankets they've got. It's they put them down in front of the union buildings. It pretty much covered the entire area. Now, you know how many people that can accommodate.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's very, very big. So if you can get involved in that, that's one way you can make a difference. And remember, if you've got an older member of the family or people who are sitting at home and they don't have a whole lot going on, she'll supply the wool. She'll supply you with your hook, your crocheting thing, and you get on with it. Make as many blankets as you can, and they go to prisoners, and they go to people who need them. And the winter, you know, in this country can be very harsh. So it's nice to have these blankets available. And, of course, at the same time, we bring huge awareness to her projects. And a lot of them do tremendously good work around the country. We'll find out more from Carolyn Stain in a short while. Continue to take your messages on WeChat, which is working perfectly this morning, I'm happy to say. And so is Twitter. There were a couple of days last week where Twitter was a bit, or was it just me? I noticed that it wasn't updating. And
I think that was just a general connection problem.
Oh, okay.
I think a shark bit a cable somewhere near Egypt, and there we got slow internet.
Shark bit a cable. But that's probably true.
That's Sharknado 4. The sharks then basically, they cut off the internet for the world, and then they attack us. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
That would be terrifying. Ben has got some very exciting sport to tell us about next, and we've got lots of other stuff to check in with, so let's not waste a single second.
When you're in the back seat with four multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to Showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
We have all given the special lady in our lives a gift that she might not have loved as much as we expected she would. Don't leave it to chance this Valentine's Day. Spoil her with a genuine piece of Pandora jewelry. A unique gift that she will cherish forever from only 399 Rand. Visit Pandora.net to locate your nearest store or follow them on Facebook at Pandora South Africa and take the guesswork out of gifting.
That sounds pretty good, huh? There we go. Pandora jewelry. If you're looking for a nice present for the special woman in your life, then that's something you could do. That sounds very, very cool. And you can find out more about that and everything you hear on cliffcentral.com just by going to our website. The same way as you can get anything that you might have missed by heading on to our website. It's all there. Everybody, everything, every interview. All right, Ben, let's go. What do we got?
Well, Gareth, we've got some great cliches this morning.
Tell me.
Cricket. Well, South Africa are 2-0 down. Hashim Amla has said it's like we're playing three finals now. Ba-ba-bum. So it's a 5-match series.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a 5-match series, so we're 2-0 down. We lose one more, we've lost the series. So we now have to play three finals. It's precious stuff. We've got to take every game as it comes, and this
game... He's trying to make it sound exciting.
Yes.
Okay.
But what's not exciting is our options for this fifth bowler kind of position. It's just yielded disaster after disaster, where we've got Fehan Behardin. I know I kind of semi-butcher that every time, but I'm not trying to. It's just difficult. And then we've got JP Duminy, who also bowled some off-pies. So, It's a big worry, and today they take on England in Centurion. Now, Centurion, as you know, it's a great place to drink beer because it's got a nice parkland country setting, quite a small field, very quick outfield. So if you look at England's batting lineup, you go, wow, this is so going to benefit guys like Butler. It's so going to benefit Roy and Hales at the top. Mm-hmm. And if someone like Valles Morgan or Joe Root get going, we're looking at a score around 350 here. It's going to be a great hard and fast surface. And, wow, if we don't pull a rabbit out of the hat here with this fifth bowler, we're going to be chasing leather for 50 overs flat.
You
out.
Really are using every cliche you can.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. You sound like you could be a cricketer.
It's late in the season, Gareth. It's late in the season.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's going to come down to who wants it most. No, it's not. It's going to come down to the fact that England have a better bowling attack. I know they have not really been tested, but that they've got Topley, that Willie's quite penetrating, Jordan's the weak link, but then Rashid and Ali, they've been pretty good. If you look at this team, you've got to think like South Africa with backs to the walls right now are going to give 110%.
Right.
But it's so hard to see these guys are going to win. You got to think on the high felt that our boys will have more of a chance because it's just better playing conditions they're more accustomed to than the opposition. You take whatever the sport would be, rugby, football, whatever, take opposition to sea level, it does sort of level the playing field. In altitude, it's always about something different. The ball flies further, you need a little bit less oxygen, so you know pressure situations aren't going to be as easy to come by or overcome. So, if they are going to win a game, it's either going to be this one or the one on Friday. But England just need to win one of them. So, they're going to be so, so gung-ho to kind of get in here and win the Centurion one. Because that's where they lost the test match.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we'll provide the project with some positivity. So, I've just thrown a whole mess of information at you right now. All I'm doing is I'm trying to skirt the real issue here. We haven't got a fifth bowler. And we have no sort of tail. We have no lower order batting. Because once number 7 comes in, we then have a tail. And you can't have a set batsman from the middle order batting through the innings, and then you've got nothing but bowlers who can barely hold a bat. That's how you don't get the 120 runs in the last 10 overs. That's what real successful teams do. And the Proteas are just found lacking. So now that I've completely shut them out, they're obviously going to win by 8 wickets. But tell you a team who is completely crap right now, and there's no way of getting around, even with horrible cliches and half-assed anecdotes.
Who?
SA under-19s.
Why is that, Ben?
Well, you know, they got beaten by Namibia, and they got knocked out of the tournament. They're defending champs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beaten by Namibia. But now they've been thrashed by Zimbabwe. So not only have they gone from being the best team in the world, they're now only like the third best team in Africa. Like, it's just so, 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 so frustrating. They were all out for 91 runs.
91
wickets. Runs yesterday. Zimbabwe basically just lost it off and won by 8 wickets. Coach Lawrence Mahatlani, he says we mustn't write the players off, though. We just must not write these players off, Gareth.
More cliches.
But, you know, should we write Lawrence off? I don't know. Like, Ray Jennings obviously had these guys, took them to the title. But, you know, he's a white guy with a moustache, so his days were very numbered within the CSA.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out of the system. He's taken all the expertise and experience and you just throw it in the bin. So, yeah, I mean, Lawrence can go and he can take a whole new bunch, new generation. I'm all for that. Go ahead. But if the guys don't know what they're doing, it's quite worrying because you need these next levels to come through. And if we haven't got a next level coming through and we've already got a doddery top level, then when people say things are going to start going like the West Indies, you can't actually poo-poo them anymore. You can't say to them, oh, bullshit. We've always got better resources. Because if these are our better resources, it is very, very worrying. In the Under-19 World Cup, currently India are playing Sri Lanka, but if you don't care about that, I can tell you that SA will now play a 10th place playoff match on Thursday. Like, go home. If you're not... You know, your theory about running, this is taking another level. Okay, we'll play for 10th. Hoorah. In more entertaining cricket news, Australia lost in the ODI series against New Zealand. New Zealand playing at home are a formidable force, mostly yes. Because they play in these tiny little grounds where the wind swirls and you get really ugly girls shouting at you on the boundary, and it's quite difficult to win in New Zealand. So they won that third ODI, so they won the series 2-1. Brendan McCullum is now retired from all international cricket. He will now be chasing the T20 cash around the world, and he's earned his dues there.
Well, that's not a bad thing, no. Chasing that T20 cash. It's that's what most cricketers want to do with their time.
Yeah, he's 34, so he's really left it quite late. And, you know, he's got plenty of T20 time. He could have actually pinched off another 2 seasons. But he chose to lead his team, so good for him.
All right.
In football, well, we didn't really touch on this yesterday, but there was a big protest by Liverpool fans over the weekend, right?
All right.
To the sound of, you greedy bastards, enough is enough. A whole bunch of them, like 10,000, left the stadium.
Really?
So what these scousers were doing is, they had this protest, right? On the 77th minute, we shall get up from our seats and we shall leave. The only problem was, this is one of the games where they're actually ahead. So they were 2-0 up, and they're like, oh great, we're finally going to win. And they go, oi, up. But we're winning. It's like, no, we're protesting. Now, the 77 is significant because ticket prices have got up to £77, right?
Uh-huh.
If you want to watch in the main stand as a local. Now, £77 is 1,800 Rand, roughly.
Sure.
Which, in English terms...
That's a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money, okay? So, there's a lot of... We spoke about how it was the £1 billion league, you know...
Who would pay
so
1,800 Rand for a ticket to a football match? Anybody?
Here, it would be a once-off, maybe. There, well, you got your whole body tattooed with You'll Never Walk Alone and crap like that. So, they're in for it. They're invested. They've got to go. They have to go. That's why they're protesting about the fact that they have to go and pay £77. Now, Jurgen Klopp, he's obviously not very happy about this because his team was 2-0 up. Then the people left and they drew 2-2 with Sunderland. So, that's kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. But they got a fair point. You know, the money in soccer is great. It really is cool. I mean, it means that people like Wayne Rooney can actually wear shoes the rest of their life. But what it also means is that it's driving things up and up and up, and there's no real cap to all of this. So, as more TV money comes in, suddenly the ticket prices go up, but the average man in the street isn't suddenly earning more money. So football should never be overpriced because it is the people's sport. All these people watch football and it's their life, and these teams are so big because they can sell at their stadium every single week. So if they now want to dick them over with ticket prices, then they're going to suddenly see their ass. And these guys, I think they really should be protesting, but don't wait till the 77th minute. Be a bit more striking. Go earlier on. Go like in the 53rd minute.
Oh, why go at all? Stay at home. Save yourself the £77, and people will very quickly realize that the stadium's not selling out.
Or just send their dogs.
But it's greed, you know? Again, here's another place and time and another thing that has been ruined by greed.
Yep. It's actually, yeah, it's really sad. It is. It's complete greed. And all it is, it's like all these things we've spoken about before on various levels. There's these suits in a boardroom table looking at flowcharts and diagrams.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care a second for football. They don't care about fans. They're looking at projections and they're going, well, profit margins here, here, here. Ticket price equals £77.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care if these people are going to get up in the 77th minute because their idea is, well, they've been coming for 100 years. They'll keep coming. Well, people are starting to get really angry in this day and age. And protests lead to riots, and riots lead to, well, news. Final story first this morning, Gareth, is the Varsity Cup rugby. Now, I find
this... Oh, is this going?
Yeah, I find the Varsity Cup quite difficult to follow, mostly because I was never a student. And secondly, there's just too much sport.
I went when they launched it, when they started the Varsity Cup. And it was very entertaining. You know, they put it on. It was kind of like Monday Night Football in America.
Yes.
That was the idea. There's not a lot going on a Monday. You got to see these hot cheerleaders. You got to see a little bit of rugby.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the rugby that was a little more exciting than the rugby you get at national level.
Well, it's a good point that you bring up there, because as much as I said I don't really care for it, there are some great things happening in this right now. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. Yesterday, someone scored a 9-point try. So if you're a purist, you're going, oh, what bullshit is this? But then dig a little bit deeper into the rationale behind this. A 9-point try could actually be what will turn this country's rugby around.
What is a 9-point try, Ben?
Well, before I get into that, guys, you know that right now, if you were to just ask anybody, what do you think of South African rugby? You'll think of losing to Japan, you'll think of Heineken Meyer, and you'll think of boring rugby, okay? So that's not a good thing to have. So if somebody wants to propose the fact that you can score more points for a try by running the ball from further inside your own territory, I'm actually all for it. I know it gets a bit sort of T20-ish when people start bringing other things into the game, and there's pink shorts and play with the purple ball for 5 minutes and all that kind of stuff. But the idea being that this guy scored a try yesterday, Baden Janssen for Rensburg.
Mm-hmm.
The move started in their own half for Pukka, right? Mm-hmm. Now, because it started in their own half and they basically ran through the phases all the way from there without play stopping, the try cost or scored was 9 points. Which is kind of cool, because what happens then if you get your ball, you get the ball in your halfway line? You're not going to kick it away. You're not going to put up a high up and under and hopefully get possession back. You're going to try run the ball. What does that do? It means that every time you're playing rugby nowadays, you have to work on your skills. You have to work on your fitness, and you have to work on that hunger to always cross the game line with ball in hand. These are all things that national level rugby is not happening. Super Rugby, our teams are not doing this. So if the guys are learning this from a younger age, and this is how rugby is now played, it can only mean good things as you get into the higher levels. Now, if you score a try between the halfway line and the opposition 22, you get 7 points. And if you score a try that starts basically in the opposition 22, so if you go for a line out for a penalty and you get a catch and go, it'll only be worth 5 points. So
they're just trying to make it more exciting, right?
Yeah, well, Francois Pienaar says he's absolutely thrilled by this whole system. And, you know, he says he's a purist, like most of us are, and he's very hesitant to tinker with the rugby match. But he was saying that, like, this is how we're going to innovate. This is how we're going to get our players to go to that next level. And I really am behind this. I can't endorse this enough. So good on you, Varsity Cup Rugby, and good on you, Francois Pienaar, for sticking this thing out. You could quite easily have just joined so many boards and got lots of money because, you know, you held a trophy up.
I think he's done that as well.
But okay, but he's still giving back to this, and he's still putting his insights and interest in this level of rugby. So good for him.
Yeah,
he's not just—he didn't just do Lay's adverts. Good for you, Francois Pienaar, and long live the idea of innovation in rugby, because it seems to be lacking if you watch Springbok rugby for the last couple of years. And that is all your sport for this Tuesday. There's a lot more if you go to cliffcentral.com right now.
Ben never.
And you listen to the Bounce Show from yesterday. Lots of great discussions.
Ben never gives an update on women cricket.
Women's
so
cricket.
I'm going to tell you about a woman, Elise Perry.
Yep.
She scored 90 off 95 balls with a strike rate of 94.73 and got a wicket off Sarah Taylor, which is apparently...
Who is this? What country?
You got a wicket off Sarah Taylor. Does Sarah Taylor provide wickets? Does she have a wicket kiosk that you can buy them from?
Got the wicket of.
Yes, okay. So you're trying to show me up, but you're actually talking out of your ass at the same time. Was that a good thing?
I'm trying to broaden. Because we always talk about men cricket.
Oh, shut up, both of you.
Okay, did they win the match, Michael?
No, I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, so what is the point of your little injection here?
90 of 95 balls. That's nearly a baller...
A baller run. Yeah, it is. You're right.
A baller run.
Yeah.
How many men do that?
All right, and you know what? I don't know how many men do that.
Huh?
How about you give me the answer for that tomorrow? Find out how many men do 90 balls off a run and get wickets off Sarah Taylor.
90 balls off a run? Don't you mean...
Yes, Gareth, I know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking to an idiot about sport who wants to now try to show me up. Okay. Go, Michael, there's your assignment for tomorrow.
The aggro
Broaden.
Dance, yeah. All right.
There we go.
Well, exciting little... what was that all about, Sia? You don't know or care, you don't care, right?
No, I'm leaving World War Seven on its own there.
Mubs is also. She's passed out.
I'm looking at news stories. I'm doing important stuff.
There we go. Very good. Everybody's on their own mission this morning. Okay, Anthea's got some news for us in a moment or two on the markets. I do have to remind you that you could win a dream date with Colcacchio Pizzeria. Just go to cliffcentral.com. On our home screen, you scroll down a little bit, you'll find the competition page, and you can enter for your chance to win an amazing evening at Colcacchio Pizzeria. And that could be a warm-up too, it could be the big night of Valentine's Day, or it could be a post-Valentine's Day special treat. Because you know what happens, a lot of people put huge effort into impressing their date on Valentine's Day, and then the day after they're like back to normal and nothing exciting happens anymore. So we can help you make that better by giving you an opportunity to win a dream date with Colcacchio Pizzeria and cliffcentral.com. Just go to our main page, scroll down, and you can find out everything you need to know to enter. Let's get to Anthea. She's got some news for us for this morning, and there's lots to talk to her about today, as there is every day. I mean, let's face it, there's never a boring day in the South African economy. Why should today be any different? Isn't that right, Anthea?
Good morning, Gareth. You're spot on. There's a lot to talk about today, actually.
So, all right. First things first. This commodities thing that we've been talking about for the last few days continues to show impressive numbers. We see a lot of the resources businesses growing in huge increments. And you said the other day, you know what, it's a risky business. It's not the kind of thing that you believe you'd get into. Are we missing a bit of a trick here? I mean,
I am worried, actually, that I'm missing a bit of trick. So yesterday, Amplats put out such a solid set of numbers. They referred to 4 billion rand in free cash flow. It is worth noting that this is before the 1.1 billion rand in tax settlement and 1 billion rand in restructuring costs. They have sold down their inventory significantly. The share was up 11% again yesterday. It really does look like Amplats has taken basically the pain up front. So doing particularly well to strengthen their balance sheet, to see through this commodities bear market. Does that change anything? I'm not sure fundamentally it does. So has the platinum price increased significantly or enough to carry the stock through? I don't know. You know, it's the mining in Durban in Cape Town at the moment. And right. One of my friends is there and she said yesterday that everybody's still really negative. So it's almost like there's a dislocate between the stock market and what's happening on the ground.
You know, even Lundman, who we've been talking about quite a lot, they're obviously, you know, it's a controversial business since what happened in Marikana happened. But even Lundman, whose share price fell through the floor not so long ago,
yeah.
And who were doing a rights issue to try to reclaim some kind of value for the business, even they have not had a terrible run.
Exactly. The share was up, what, 11% yesterday or something?
That's not bad growth. If you put, you know, R1 in for every... for every share. I mean, I don't know what the share is worth at the moment, a couple of cents. But, But you know, you could get quite decent returns if you got in and got out quickly enough.
It's too risky for me, Gareth. Just because the share price is up 11%, that doesn't change the fact that Lundman's debt is more than the market cap.
Right.
So fundamentally, it's still flawed, I'm afraid. And I know we could potentially grow the business, but you know, if you're going to try and time it, you're on dangerous ground, really. Because guess what? Today or next week, the share could be down 30%.
Yeah.
The share could go to zero.
This is where you cease to be a trader if you're an uneducated guesser and you become a gambler. This is where you could go and put money on black or red in the casino and have just as much success or failure. And it doesn't take an educated person to figure this out. But if you are the kind of person who likes a little bit more risk and you are the sort of person who is in some way conversant in the markets, then maybe it's worth your trying. But for ordinary old us, I don't think this is necessarily, you know, according to the advice you've given us for the whole of last year, it's not necessarily something you should hop into in an untrained way.
Yeah, Gareth. More now than ever, I'm going to remain conservative. I'm going to stick with blue chip companies. You know, China was closed yesterday. In fact, most of Asia was closed yesterday. And I would have thought we'd catch a break. Just because all we've been talking about is how Chinese growth is slowing and we're worried about the global economy because of this. But yesterday, global markets were down again. Europe was down over 3%. The U.S. was down 1.5%. The VIX, you know, this volatility index that we always talk about these days, or the fear index as we call it, was up to 26 again yesterday. So I'm going to stay with conservative blue chip companies, and I'm okay to miss out on the 11% jump because tomorrow it could easily revert or, you know, lose even more than I've gained in one day.
And let's also be fair, if you do jump in for an 11% return, you're also working off a very small base if your share price is as low as it is for Lundman.
Yeah, and it the volatility shows that as much as it moves up, it can move down.
Right.
I'll tell you what did help our market a bit yesterday was the Rand. It traded weaker, 16.20 to the dollar, which I think did help resource, you know, the resource shares kind of give it a bit of a boost.
Okay.
And then out of the blue yesterday, Alexander Forbes announced that their CEO, Edward Kiesewetter, was stepping down to take early retirement.
Now, this is a big deal because Edward's been a guest in our show once or twice, and I know that you and he often have conversations because Alexander Forbes, obviously a major financial institution in South Africa. Is this a shock?
It is a shock. No, it came out as a big surprise because he was the guy who listed it, when did they list? June 2014. And I haven't had a chance to speak to Edward yet, so I think he's fairly busy at the moment. The chairperson, Selo Maloko, he's stepping in into an executive position, and then the CFO, Dion Viljoen, is going to become interim CEO. I also know Grant Stobart, who is the CEO of the UK, or the international business. I think he'd make an excellent CEO. It is Alexander Forbes is a very complicated business. You know?
And they haven't had the best year and a half, have they?
No, they haven't. Unfortunately, the share's gone from 850 to about 470 at the moment, although yesterday it was up 7%. So I'm guessing the market was okay with the news yesterday.
Well, Edward Kiswetter used to have, I think he still does, a very nice place somewhere in the, it's like in Singapore or something, where he spends a lot of his time.
That's right, yes.
Now, does this mean that he's exiting early retirement? Does that mean he's leaving Alexander Forbes and going into proper retirement, or does it mean that he might have other things lined up?
I also know that last year he bought, in his own capacity, he bought into an education business. So if I'm speculative about it, I would say that he's going to do something on his own.
Hmm.
And spend a bit more time in Singapore.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
This is You High Flyers. This is the TV series Billions that we were talking about yesterday.
Talk about Billions. You want to know about a leaky market. My goodness. Illovo Sugar announced yesterday that a company called Associated British Foods, which really was their controlling shareholder, had made a non-binding expression of interest to buy the remaining shares of Illovo. So they're going to completely take out the company at 20 rand a share. It was trading at 15.60 per share. And so, of course, the share was up 9% yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Year to date, the move is up. And the share is up 21%, while Tongaat, on the other hand, is only up 5.4%. Now you know I'm not, what's his name, Axelrod from Billions.
Right.
Because if I'd known that, I would have bought Illovo shares. And apparently somebody did know the announcement, because how else do you explain the 21% move since the beginning of the year?
Now, when do these trades signal a red flag? When do you get the investigators in to say, hold on, this is potentially some insider trading?
I reckon the FSB are going to be onto this one for sure.
You think so?
No doubt. Oh, it's up 21% since the beginning of the year for no apparent reason. Nothing's changed. We've still got the droughts. We've still got the lower sugar prices. They haven't made any announcement.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense, right?
Absolutely. There's no reason that the market would have to react en masse to this.
Exactly. No reason for the share to rally.
All right. I got some info for you. I want you
to please.
Well, it's not inside info, but this is something worth looking at. I was speaking to a very, very powerful, influential businessman yesterday who said to me, we've got to look carefully at the steel industry.
And what does he mean by that? Do we have to be careful of it, or we have to watch?
What's happening in steel is what happened a couple of years ago in textiles. Basically, we're letting the Chinese into our market, which means that they can provide, and they already do, 50% of the world's steel. They can provide the steel to us much cheaper than we can produce it ourselves. So they'll undercut all the local producers. It'll have a very significant effect on ArcelorMittal, on Highveld Steel, on all of those businesses. And that might be one to look out for.
Oh, I'll definitely look into that. Because cheaper products to market definitely is not a good thing for companies that produce at higher costs, like Arsenal.
And it also means potentially the loss of millions of jobs. Well, certainly thousands of jobs, maybe not millions. Thousands of jobs, and all the businesses and smaller kind of trickle-down stuff that comes from the steel industry.
So again, Gareth, we're talking about this commodities bear market that we're worried about, and this will just exacerbate the issue, right?
Hope not. South Africa's got a proud history of trying to build that steel sector. We've got massive infrastructure. ISCOR back in the old regime was well supported by the state. They managed to produce high quality steel. We managed to export a lot of that and make quite a bit of money. And now, if we're going to let the Chinese supply their much cheaper steel, it's going to chop a huge hole out from under the floor that our industry stands on.
And do you think we should just stop this? Do you think we should not let them bring cheaper steel into the market?
Well, you need almost a kind of protectionism here.
And is that a good thing, though?
Well, there's fair competition and there's unfair competition. You decide which is which.
I definitely am going to look into this, because I know that the steel market is suffering, and Australia in particular also do this. So they also produce slightly cheaper steel than we do, for example. So this would be interesting.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthea. Anything else you want to throw in?
One last thing, Gareth. Bidvest announced yesterday that it is unbundling their food services business, which they are going to list on the JSE main board. So outside of the US, Bidvest Food Services is the biggest business of its kind in the world. I love this story. So this is a company started by Brian Joffe in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now a 43 billion rand market cap company. It has turnover of over 100 billion rand a year.
Wow.
I know, exciting stuff. So we'll see. I'm not sure of the metrics of how they're going, at what exactly they're going to take out and how they're going to do it and what valuation they're going to put on it. But we might want to buy some of these new Bidvest food services business listing when it comes to the market.
All right. Thank you very much, Anthea.
All right. Thanks.
Always exciting.
See you tomorrow.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. There we go. Anthea Gardner. You can see I'm getting into this stuff. Starting to enjoy it. I just wish the market would return the favor. Huh? Don't you wish that it would just fall in love with us and start giving us the returns? Wouldn't that be nice if we just saw a massive uptick? If suddenly something happened and everything on the South African Stock Exchange, on the JSE, just suddenly started to go sky high. Wouldn't that be great? We need some good news, badly. Let's see. There's lots to talk about today. We're going to get to the news with Mubs in a moment. We'll take your calls. We'll take your comments on WeChat and on Twitter. And you can always get hold of us on email, too. Just email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Get lots of those every day, too. All right, let's get on to it. Mubs is ready to regale us with all the important stuff. Before we get to that, though, I did get a message earlier. Who's this from? From Andrew, who says, "Morning, Gareth. Take a listen to Adele's Hello reggae version by Kankara featuring Rosie." He says, "Wow, it is a fantastic song. So let me find that for you. Do you want to hear it?"
Sure.
Let's take this quickly while we get ready for the news. And then when we tee off with the news after that, you can find out everything you need to know so that you're armed and ready to take on the day. Here's the reggae version of Hello. Tell me if you like it.
This is Kankara, and I'm here with my little sister in Rosie. And we're going to cover Adele's song Hello today, reggae style, here in Pisse, Solomon Islands. Tell them!
Nice.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go.
CliffCentral.com.